the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrandtHanson.com.
Hello, podcast people. This is a special podcast that was actually requested. So when we did the men's roundtable discussion, quote unquote, someone requested, I can't remember who, so I'm sorry. I want to say Jennifer, but I'm not sure, requested us to do the same kind of format with women. And so now I'm in the hot seat, which was really uncomfortable, actually, with two other women, Julie, who is a wonderful mother and wife, and actually her husband, Derek, is the one that was on the men's podcast. And then Tori, who works for Cure International and is actually Brandt's boss. So it's me, Julie, and Tori talking about whatever Brandt came up with, answering his questions. I think that's part of what made it so uncomfortable. But anyway, here is the women's roundtable discussion that was requested.
I thought it'd be awesome to have you ladies talk about something, a few things that I have written down here. I just want you to be honest. We're not on the radio, so the people that listen to the podcast, I think, don't expect, like, they're not going to jump
much.
Out. They don't expect you to make any sense. They don't expect whole sentences. So the standard has really been
lowered. The bar is so low.
Yeah. So I don't, like, there's certain things we can't say on the air, but we can say on a podcast where we can be really upfront about stuff that on the air would confuse some people because they just tuned in to listen to some tunes. And then they hear something that causes them to think too much or something. So anyway, it's all good. So I want to ask this. How about this? This was the first question I had, and Julie brought it up and said, I don't want to talk about this, but I want to ask you about it anyway.
Oh, good.
We'll start with Julie.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You asked something, the Proverbs 31 woman. You said, I would like to do a study. By the way, Julie, you have your PhD, right?
I have my doctorate, yeah.
You have your doctorate, okay. So she has her doctorate. You wanted to know what the Proverbs 31 woman looks like.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
So I think what I've been thinking a lot about is in the secular community where I work, the working woman is like revered, good, understood, and thought to be normal to work a full-time working week. In the Christian world, I feel like I only work part-time and women look at that as like you're sacrificing your kids on the altar of work. So you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, and she's not just in the house, right? She's going out, and she's doing things with her hands, and she's bringing things home. And so I've been wrestling with what does it mean to raise your children? Does that mean you have to be there full time? What does it mean to be a missionary in the workforce as a woman? So I feel like my job is a time to spread the gospel through what I'm doing and how I'm interacting with people. And I don't always feel like that's sacrificing my kids and not raising them well.
But you and your husband work out time stuff too, right? I mean, you've got two little kids.
We've got two little kids, 4 and 2.
Can I ask you this? And I'm sorry to interrupt. And I know what's going to happen here. Could be the only guys. Like somebody's going to listen to this and go, look, the man's interrupting all the time. I don't mean
to. Yeah, I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it and I'm going to write a letter to this radio show.
Quit interrupting me. My goodness.
I feel like you're not valuing my
already.
Input.
Okay, how does that? Because you're basically saying you feel a little judged, right?
Right, super judged.
Okay, super judged. Who? How does that manifest itself? Like by whom? Where? Where does that happen?
I think in the Christian, like I've been to Christian MOPS groups or like mothers groups or whatever, and everyone's talking about their kids, and then when they find out I work, it's like, oh. Do you put your kids in daycare? Say, no, I have a babysitter that comes to my house. And my husband does have ability to watch the kids a lot of times that I'm at work. And once I say that my husband watches the kids, there's a little bit of relief from judgment. But I kind of think to myself, what about the single mom that's trying to raise and doesn't have a husband that's home to take that off for the woman who's been widowed? Like, what is she seeing of the Christian faith, you know, and who Jesus is when she's being judged by other people just because she's trying to use her skills or
do you think women are intimidated by somebody who's got her doctorate and works?
Maybe.
Are you ever intimidated by a woman who's really great at something or is that ever an issue? You can say no. It's fine. Is that a dumb question?
No, it's not a dumb. No question is a dumb question.
No, there are. No, I beg to differ.
Sherry's
really,
heard
really
some
stupid questions. No, that is a good question.
I don't feel like I'm necessarily intimidated by other women. I think I've been around really strong women in my life, so. Mm-hmm. I think I saw growing up, and I feel very blessed to see this, that my dad did a lot around the house. My mom did. There wasn't very, like, there were roles, I think, of male and female, but it wasn't like my mom did everything inside the house and rearing the kids, and my dad worked outside and came home, right? It was like a partnership. And so I feel like because I've seen that, I don't see women who are really professional as intimidating. Maybe I see moms that are really homemaker-ish a little more intimidating to me.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm just not as perfect at that as they are. I don't think of crafts and, mm-hmm. like, I don't sing, Brant, and, like, do kumbaya at night with my kids.
Oh, like I do.
Like you do, Brant.
So she's intimidated by you.
I'm kind of the perfect woman.
You are.
So
now that you mention it.
that's why the show works.
Okay, let me ask
you,
Tori, are you intimidated by other women? Any kind of other women?
Well, I think it's interesting comparing my upbringing with Julie's a little bit, coming from a single-parent home where it was just my mom. And she was the hardest-working and still is the hardest-working woman that I know. And so that's what's crafted for me, the idea that I should be this way rather than that I should not. And that, you know, I'm going to give 110% to my job. You know, right now I don't have kids. Maybe someday I will. And I don't think that I would even perceive giving up working really hard on behalf of my kids, even in a professional setting, because I saw that as a way to take care of your family. So it's a really different experience. But so no, I don't really feel that same. It's not the same type of intimidation. Certainly there's women that I respect and admire and hope to be like, and I think that they're incredible for what they can do. But I actually don't see it, even from the Christian perspective, as something to be intimidated by when somebody works really hard, because I saw that so clearly.
Are you intimidated by any other kind of thing that women, like, is there any, do you, and by the way, Tori's in her 20s, college grad, all that sort of stuff, and great heart for, I would say, from what I can tell, like, I appreciate her heart for what she does at Cure.
Thanks.
But that does make me wonder, is that something, do you look at women who are homemakers or something intimidated by that, or like, or anything, or?
I don't really think so, which is really amazing. And of course, like I said, there's people that I admire, and I think there are, here's something. I think there's more personality traits rather than achievements that I would find intimidating, or I wish that I had more of. Maybe the ability to speak really well on behalf of something, or confidence going into something that I'm unsure of, or something like that. I definitely can see myself being intimidated by some of those traits. But I just really appreciate, I think that everyone is really good at different stuff, and I'm glad that I don't let that get to me too much when I see someone who's awesome at, you know, taking care of their kids, because I know, like, okay, that's not my spot right now. Maybe someday it will be.
Do you feel judged for being single?
No.
Good.
No.
Good. Sherry does.
Wait till you get older. No, I don't feel judged as much.
Sherry will judge you.
I'll judge you if you need judgment. I don't feel judged as much. You know what I feel judged? What I would feel judged for is, the other day, my nieces are staying with me, so they stay with me for weeks at a time, and I take care of them. And we were at this place that's like this jungle gym kind of, kids going bananas everywhere, and they're screaming and yelling, and they're all over the place. And I'm there, and I'm watching these kids go crazy. They're having this Easter kind of thing. There's kids everywhere. And I said to myself, I have never wanted this.
Huh.
And I think that just saying that would make...
It does.
People judge me, and I'm at the age now where I don't care. I would never have vocalized that maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but I'm looking and there's nothing in me. And I think there are some women that would be there and would be like, if they were single, didn't have children,
right,
would pine for it. But while I'm watching all that, and it's not because the kids were jumping and screaming and all of that, because my nieces were. It was just that I, in that moment, I'm looking and I'm like, this is nothing that I've ever actually wanted. And I think that I was talking with a friend the other day, and she was saying, well, what we want, we go for, right? Mm. And I am that kind of person. So there is some truth to the fact that if that is something that I actually wanted, I probably would have pursued it.
I think whenever you say you don't want somebody else's thing that they really want, it is threatening. And it's unsettling. And there's no way, there's nothing they can even really say about it or do about it, but they don't like it. I mean, whatever it is, like if somebody's living their whole life to be a pilot, and you're like, yeah, I don't really like flying. Like, what? Yeah. Well, then I don't see much value. Like, wow.
That, and you have these societal norms that have been set up to say this is who and what you are, and this is what you're supposed to want. And then you have the Proverbs 31 woman, who I've always had a love-hate relationship with, because I just feel like she's been used as a bat to just beat the living daylights. Okay, I can't do all of that.
Who's doing that?
I guess... I don't want to.
Well, people. You don't have to say names, but I mean.
Well,
like,
I just think church culture, American
Bob. Well, Bob in first grade, Sally in fifth. Now that you ask,
Reverend Williams. No, you know what? I think that American church culture, we use it all the time, I think. I remember being on a radio with someone and a guy saying, I mean, that's set up as the quintessential woman, right? And I remember the guy saying, well, If you're not married, you can't even be that. And just being so emphatic. And I remember sitting there, and I was probably in my 20s, thinking, okay, well, there's that. If that's the quintessential woman, and I don't have that, and not knowing if I'm ever going to have that, then biblically, I'll never quite measure up.
Right.
That's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
I heard, and I'm not a scholar, but I've heard scholars say that they see Proverbs 31 woman as a woman over the course of her lifetime.
I heard you say that before, and I like that.
And even then, you could use it as a baseball bat to beat people up. Like, well, you never did that. You never sold purple cloth in the courtyard or whatever. Like, if you want to get real legalistic about it, you'd be like, oh, well, you haven't really been at the gates.
I haven't.
You know, selling real estate. Yeah. So, okay, that's all interesting. I wanted to kind of asked too, and I'll go back to you on this, Julie, but like, you've never been one of these big Christian conferences, the women's conferences?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Why not?
Oh, boy.
You've been raised in the Christian subculture, evangelical.
Yeah.
So
it's one, I don't really like big groups.
Okay.
Two, I think they're really great. I think they can create a subculture in and of itself and become a little Christianese sometimes for maybe who I am, my personality. So I've never felt super comfortable in those settings.
Okay, that's cool. The reason I wanted you to say that, I appreciate you saying that, and I know you were like, I don't know if I could say that, like, but there's people that they understand. And then they get to, you ever feel, you've got such a strong, I don't know what to call it. I just feel like you're really pretty centered on who you are and you don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think some people feel like they're less than if they're not attracted to stuff that they're supposed to be attracted to or something. You know what I'm talking about? Has that ever been an issue?
I think I've wrestled with this recently of like, what does it mean with your Christian faith if you're not up to speed on everything? Like, or like not the woman that's going to women's conferences all the time and knowing all the funny jokes and, you know, everyone's almost cultish. And I think my personality, to be honest, is, I think we've talked about this before, is like when someone becomes who everyone looks to, I tend to retreat from that. And I think partially because throughout history and life, when people get exalted, they tend to not make the best choices. And I feel like I've been let down by some of those people who have been revered. Uh-huh. And so my husband and I lived in Uganda for a few years, and like everyone, short-term missionaries would come over and they'd see the Ugandan people and be like, man, they are like, they pray like no one else. They have joy like no one else. And after living there for a little bit, I said, no, they actually deal with the same jealousy that I do and the same anger. And before the foot of the cross, we are all the same. And so after seeing that and then being in the U.S. with people who are like, well, if you read these books, you fully understand what a Christian woman looks like. I think I'm like, no, because they probably do the same sin I do at home. You know, and so good or bad, that might be what prevents me from going to those places.
I totally get it. Tori's, what about women's conferences and stuff? Do you go to them? Do you like them?
No, I've never been to them.
Okay, this is a great panel that I
brought
together. Very diverse.
Everyone's the same.
No, that really is awesome. But go, like, why not?
Well, I think I try to predict the value before I go. And I guess I haven't ever thought that I would receive something so valuable to me that I would want to be in that space. But that's kind of funny because I don't know what they're going to be like. I've never been to one. And not that there's not teaching that would be really impactful and good. So I don't know. I kind of assume that it's maybe all things that I've heard before, or maybe I think, yeah, I don't have to go and be around the group and that group think. And if I wanted to find that, I could go read it in a book somewhere or something. Yeah, I agree with Julie. There's a lot of this, or at least for me, I think it's this like this atmosphere that creates how you're supposed to feel. And I reject, yeah, like you said, retreat. I think that was a good word. I usually retreat from that, from feeling like something's a setup and this is how I'm supposed to respond to it.
Okay, but all this to say, and I think both of you would say this, knowing you both, like you wouldn't say, somebody goes to that, what is their problem?
Oh,
like,
no.
So this is what I love, because the women who are listening to this can go, I get that. There's some people that like they need to hear, we're cut different, you know, we're all a little different. Sherry, you've been to a lot of conferences, right?
I don't know that I've been to a lot of them, but I have been to them just because, you know, my mom is a big...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, she's really into that. So taking her, I don't know. I always feel out of place. Because I'm not an emotive person, and I always feel those places have kind of that feel to them. And so now I will say, if there's anything that could be intimidating, that could be, is that I've never felt like I've had it, that, and I can see other women feeling that and not feeling it. Now I'm an actress, so I can act it if I need to.
Well, anybody who's been around church culture long enough or grew up in it can act it.
You
are a gifted actress, no doubt. Thank but I mean, you. Like, I can imagine you could nail it because of that.
Yeah, like, but deep inside, I'm like, I'm not feeling any of this, and I don't understand.
You're not feeling any? So do you, okay, this is great, because I don't know if I've ever just point blank asked you about that. Like, I've said in my book that I don't feel God's presence. And I explain why I still think God loves me and he's real and my faith has grown anyway. But do you feel God's presence around?
I do at times, yeah. So I wouldn't say I don't feel God's presence. What I'll say is the emotional feeling that other women seem to be having collectively and separately, I don't have. So do I feel that he's there? Yes, I do. Does that move me to tears? Do I, all of the things that, you know, I've been in women's groups. I grew up in church. So all of that, I've done it, but I'm like, I don't, you know, I can whip up some tears, but I'm not really feeling, I don't know why we're doing this. So when I say I'm not feeling it, I don't seem to have the same emotional response that other women have in those settings when we're all together. And in my mind, our emotions just start bouncing off of each other and it just wells up. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I've enjoyed it. And like I said, my mom is all conference bags, conference programs, handicap section. I got to get there early to get my seat. She's all of that. So I've always been and have gotten something from the teaching. It's just the atmosphere sometimes makes me feel uncomfortable because I don't feel like I fit in.
I think it's a great place, especially if you don't have a lot of Christian support. So I think one of the reasons that it hasn't been like, I come from a really solid family and I have a lot of great Christian friends and have been raised at like Christian camps and that kind of stuff. Sometimes that fills my cup for the community of Christian women, because I have sisters, and where if you're like the first Christian in your family, if you are in a completely secular environment, I think like the women's conferences are life-giving.
That's a great point.
I agree.
That's true. That happens when people make fun of Christian radio, for instance. They're
right.
Like, oh, you guys are in the Christian bubble. I'm like, actually, anybody who says Christian bubble is in a Christian bubble.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of people that are working really hard jobs, and they get discouraged, they've had a hard day, and we get in the car, and they're reminded that God loves them. Like,
yeah,
that's beautiful.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.